Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Hey, Jess, so I read this a little bit earlier. You being born and raised in Los Angeles, diehard Los Angeles Dodger fan,
Steve,
how do you feel about Alex Cora, former Red Sox manager, obviously was part of the Astros? What do you think when I'm gonna read off this quote here? I understand why people think that our championship is not valid, and it's our fault that we that they think that. I'm being honest and apologize for what happened and for the mistakes we made as a group. I understand why people are disappointed. I'm disappointed myself. At the time, one doesn't think about the consequences. It was something that kept growing and growing, and in the end, it was wrong. We made a mistake, and I must pay for the consequences of my actions. His quote, actually, he goes on to say, look, it wasn't just me and Carlos Beltran. This isn't a two-man show. It wasn't just him and I. He basically said that the entire organization is to blame. But do you, as a Dodger fan, hear something like that and say to yourself, okay, you know what? I respect that he's actually being honest and he's being genuine and he feels remorseful, rather than what we saw from the Astros 3-4 months ago, however long that was?
Meh. Now,
or it doesn't matter?
It's meh. Like, I hear his, you know, he kind of owned up to it. But if you felt this way, how come you didn't say it to begin with? Why did you wait, you know, 2-3 months before? And, you know, I come back to that, because that, you know, it's always going to hurt me.
Yeah. The timing of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, that's like a big thing out of, you know, a big topic, the timing. People only release things when it's most beneficial to them. Is this most beneficial to Cora? I don't know. But, you know, if
I like that he released it. I thought that much. Like, I do like that he...
It's a good start.
I like that he just basically put it all out there. And by the way, there are plenty of players that are never going to do it. There's plenty of players that aren't going to say anything, and there's or they're going to make excuses or whatever the case is. Oh, we just want to move on. That's in the past. You know, those cliche comments. So I can look at Cora probably a little bit differently than I do at some of those other players that really didn't show remorse, that really are still going to be playing baseball for the Astros and still have their World Series ring. You see what I'm saying? Like, I can sympathize a little bit.
Yeah, I get it too. And, you know, if you feel that way, you feel that way. I don't blame you. I get it. But I'm still irked. And I think the fact that all this happened, all this coronavirus, and, you know, we haven't had baseball at all this year, it's only adding to it. So I'm looking at it from like as in
the Dodgers haven't had a chance to get back on the field, and other fans haven't got a chance to boo the Astros. Mm-hmm. Baseball didn't get a chance.
All that piled on.
Players didn't get a chance to police the game like they said they would, which basically means if some of these, you know, obviously big time players for the Astros, Altuve or something like that, Springer, they might get one in between the numbers. This was just going to be the norm that came to the Astros. They got to avoid all that.
Yeah. So I think it's all that kind of bottled up fan annoyance and anger that I'm just like, cool, you apologize, you kind of stepped up to it, but no. I'm still bitter, and I'm going to be
that, not good enough.
It'll be good enough when he can somehow manufacture the DeLorean from Back to the Future, go back in time and stop his past self from cheating. In that case, then we'll be good, Alex Cora. But until then,
can you just think about this? Like, I know this was a while back, and this is only coming up because Alex Cora is apologizing. But can you just think about this? Think about when they won the World Series. Not even, let's say they didn't even win the World Series. they're just in the postseason and they know they got there primarily because I'm not saying the Astros weren't stacked and they don't have talent and they're still stacked and they have talent, but you know why you got there. You got there because you knew the pitches that were coming for the most part. You knew enough to where you had a competitive advantage. How does that feel good? Like how are you sitting there when you win game 7 of the World Series at Dodger Stadium and, you know, this like joy that they have in their eyes and it was just a facade. You know what I mean? Like, how do you feel good about yourself in that situation, in that predicament? Doesn't that sound just incredibly empty?
Yeah, especially when you kind of look back and peel away that Astros team was pretty good and pretty stacked to begin with. But now I look at them as a fact of how long have they been doing this? Is Altuve really as good of a hitter as he is? You know, because before all this happened, I had liked the Astros. I thought they were rope. And I like because, you know, they built from the draft. They did it the opposite of how, you know, baseball's done it for years when they just, you know, teams just buy all the players they want. They kind of did it, you know, really organically. And I appreciated that. And, you know, when all this happened, I was like, dude, this is it's trash. It's garbage.
Bro,
and
it's awful. Like you just like I said, think about it. No. The way they're up there in front of the cameras and smiling like, we did it. It's like, how freaking how heartless is that? Okay, so Curtis, I want you to introduce something to us. So a couple different times, Jesse has, you know, he's whispered into my ear, hey, Al, this just happened. That just happened. So now we did an incredible amount of research. ESPN funded us like crazy to try and find the right breaking news sounder.
All of our show's budget.
Exactly. So why don't you just introduce what we have come up with?
This is breaking news. We have a breaking news sounder.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so real quick. Real quick. What?
This is pretty
Jesse,
epic.
Jesse, you play two of them. And this one just, this was the one. Like, this one was a no-brainer. This is the one.
That is correct.
I have some breaking news. Start it over. Turn it off. Turn it off, Curtis. I don't want it. Okay. I have some breaking news. That's really good.
That's just, really good. I need to find a better one.
No. That's
that,
good.
That build-up was
the only thing
something
is,
more.
The only thing
quick.
Is she's talking in the background.
Yeah,
that's the only problem. She's talking in the background.
She wants to get her 2 cents in. It's breaking news, Alan. She must tell.
Okay, here's the breaking news. I actually have breaking news today.
Oh. This is news.
And
this is new to me.
I'm going to let Brian Windhorse, who was on SportsCenter, break the news. The breaking news was the NBA was going to start their season on July 31st.
Oh.
But that has changed. Here's Brian Windhorse.
Well, as well reported today, they're still working on the days. The reason that they moved it from July 31st to July 30th was because if there's a play-in tournament, if the wrong teams fell into slots, a team might have had to play a back-to-back-to-back to get into the play-in tournament and play the play-in tournament. So they even had to revise the schedule from where they were just a few days ago. And they are going to use three different venues for the seeding games, for those regular season games, but they've got to line them all up on the TV schedule. So there's going to be so many logistics to get to here, Sage. Even when they make the announcement and the protocol is announced, which they really were planning on having yesterday or today, and they don't have it yet, there's going to even be more modifications after that. It's just going to be a moving target, and I feel for them. I can't imagine how big of a beast this is to figure out.
It was July 31st. It's now July 30th. Where do you get that breaking news from that came from a lot earlier in the day? Only right here. We're good, Curtis. We got it. We'll bring it back. Don't worry. We'll bring it back. One more thing from Windhorse, and then we'll get to Dave McMenamin. Windhorse was talking. This will be, I think, kind of a conversation that continues, and Windhorse made a great point, basically saying that there's still so many questions for the NBA. So structurally, there's some dates set, but a lot of things are moving. There's a lot of moving parts. This continues to be the conversation on how will the NBA handle players that don't want to participate?
What are you hearing? And how does the league deal with players who don't want to return?
Yeah, over the last few days, Sage, the details have been provided to the union, the players and the agents. And when they've actually seen what they are, I mean, you know, I think they maybe had an idea in their head, but when they actually see it on the page, it can be a little daunting. You know, for example, one of the proposals basically is that 14 teams would be in one hotel. It's rare for two teams to be in a hotel during a season, and that taxes that hotel. Players just can't even wrap their minds around that. The idea that they may not be able to leave the three-hotel campus for all of that time, and the limited mobility they will have within it. And described to me by people who have read all of the details that it's just daunting, and that even though they may be invested in it, it may take a little bit of time to wrap their minds around it. The union has been sitting side by side and going over these negotiations, and they're pretty close to a deal, and it's going to come down to the individual players about whether they want to say yay or nay, but I think it's going to happen, and we're going to get a majority of the players in Orlando.
All right, that's Brian Windhorst right there. It's a perfect setup and a perfect segue. So Dave McMenamin, NBA reporter for ESPN, he's coming up next. We'll talk some hoops, some of the different – I mentioned that players are going to go – teams are going to have the ability to go 17 players now. So we'll get his thoughts on if there's a player out there like a DeMarcus Cousins that would be a good fit for the Lakers. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. NBA front, a lot of moving parts, and it's going to be continued. We might as well just accept this, right? There's going to be moving parts this entire time until we finally get the season underway. And even when the season starts, I think that will continue to be there's going to continue to be question marks of how it's going to be orchestrated, how it's all going to work, and everything else. It is getting closer to that time. What I will say is, I was kind of brainstorming this a little bit earlier. The toughest matchup for the Lakers in the second round, and I'm not talking about the Clippers. Let's just assume the Clippers aren't there. So work with me a little bit on this one, Jess. Let me just kind of let me lob this your way. Everybody's been talking about the first round, right? We've spent time Portland Trailblazers, and then we spent time with all the different the scenarios that can play out for Lakers versus these 5-6 teams that they can go. And Brian Kamenitsky had an article earlier in the week, might have been a couple days ago now, but it was basically on the crowded Western Conference, just how crowded it's going to be. So I'm trying to think, who's the toughest matchup for the Lakers in the second round? Take Clippers out of the equation. Just assume that the Lakers are going to play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. You got the Rockets, the Thunder, Denver, Dallas, and the Utah Jazz. Rockets, Thunder, Denver, Dallas, and Utah. So I'm looking at all five of those teams. Like, who would be the toughest matchup? You know who randomly stands out to me? Jess, who do you think I'm going to say? Out of those five teams, Rockets, Thunder, Denver, Dallas, and Utah, who do you think who do you think I'm going to say out of those five teams? We got Jess here? No, Jess.
I'm here. Sorry.
Who do you think was muted? Who do you think I would say out of those five?
So it was the Rockets, the Jazz,
Thunder, Denver, Dallas, and Utah.
The Thunder.
Keep Clippers out of the mix.
Thunder.
You know, I actually think the Lakers will have most. Like, it would make for an listen. They're going to win against any of those teams, but part of me thinks the Rockets would be the biggest issue. Let me tell you why. I'll explain exactly why. You know what? Sometimes it's not just a matter of the talent that you have. It also has to do with your attitude. It also has to do with your experience. It also has to do with how many times you've been there and you failed. The Rockets, I don't think they're talented enough to go up against the Los Angeles Lakers. But if you had to just kind of spitball and say, okay, well, what's one team that can give the Lakers the most problem? Utah, I don't think, just has enough talent. Dallas, they're too young. As great as Luka is, you know, just no experience yet. Denver, their problem is, I don't think they're not a good Lakers are a bad matchup for the Denver Nuggets. Lakers can go, Anthony Davis can play the five, and then all of a sudden everything changes. And Lakers are going to have options. Markieff Morris is now part of the team. Lakers will have options completely different than they did before Markieff Morris came. The Thunder, a ton of veterans, that could be, you know, somewhat of an issue. But the Rockets just seems like one of those teams that has absolutely nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. They don't care at all. Like, it's no big deal to them at all. That's how I feel the Houston Rockets are. What do you think? You think any pressure, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and then remember, they don't got any guy over 6'6", 6'7", but I think that's also kind of unique. Remember the first time they ever even used that lineup with Covington and Tucker and Gordon?
It was against the Lakers.
It was against the Lakers.
I remember that. They lost that game.
I think you produced that game. But that was – I look at just the – again, not just talent, just attitude. I don't think the Rockets care out of any of these teams. Okay, want to welcome in real quick Dave McMenamin. Joining the Sliwa Show. Dave, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Alan, I'm doing okay. Just trying to juggle a couple things at the moment, but me, glad to join you. Alan.
All right, we do not have David.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Dave.
I'm here.
Dave, got you, buddy. How you doing?
All right. I'm doing okay. Just trying to juggle a couple things at the moment, but glad to join you.
Thank you, Dave. No, I appreciate you taking the time. Any inside look on what you're working on? You could break it right here, Dave. You could feel free to break any news that you're working on.
I can't, but I appreciate the curiosity.
Dave, want to just get your thoughts on a couple things. What do you think of that? This has been most of the conversation coming from the NBA front today in regards to Woj reporting yesterday that there was some growing uncertainty among NBA players about entering the Orlando bubble. Do you think there is a big issue here, or do you think this is – very natural for nobody have ever gone through this, and there are players that are saying, okay, look at these list of rules that we have to abide by. This is the list of all the health parameters that we have to stay under. Do you think this is something that has kind of, I don't want to say potential to stop anything, but that a number of players have this concern?
I don't know if I'd put it as a big issue. I think Woj reported it with several dozen players. So, I mean, that's a portion of your workforce. You're talking about 450 players, you know, maybe around 5% of the workforce. If it's a couple dozen, you could say that have expressed their concerns with one another about returning to play in the bubble scenario in Orlando. But listen, these players trust Michelle Roberts and they trust the team representatives. And all of the folks involved with the MBPA went forward with this plan as of last Friday. And, you know, it could be a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to say, oh, wait a second, maybe we should have read the fine print before we gave the go-ahead. But there is a groundswell of support within the players. You've seen it from, rather than, you know, you hear anonymous players in this report showing concerns, you've seen plenty of players put their name to the support of returning. You've seen LeBron James. You've seen you know, several players on the Lakers roster, even a former Laker like Josh Hart, tweeting last week saying, you know, perhaps the NBA and basketball can lift up the country during this time by us returning down at Walt Disney World. So, now is the time to kind of speak or forever hold your peace if this was a wedding. And there could be a degree of leverage being displayed here as well because, you know, once things are set in ink and everybody signs the contract, it's going to be a lot harder to make changes. Now is the time to voice those concerns. But no one who I've spoken to in the last 24 hours believes that this would be such a wrench in the gears that you won't see the NBA returning.
Dave McMenamin, NBA reporter for ESPN, joining the Sliwa Show. Dave, the NBA now allowing teams to bring up to 17 players per roster are, and I'm sure there are, but some specific names that stick out to you that could be a good fit for the Lakers. You know, obviously they had the opportunity to have DeMarcus Cousins on the team for most of the season. There's other players out there that have been talked about during the buyout market. You heard J.R. Smith's name being thrown around. how do you think the Lakers can use this to their advantage? And typically teams that are competing for a championship will have an opportunity to sign a player simply because they're chasing for a ring.
Yeah, I think the only name that makes any sort of sense for the Lakers is DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, I know it felt like ages ago, but let's remind everyone that they already did add Markieff Morris and Deion Waiters when they were, you know, going through the buyout market kind of process. And those, you know, they could have made a play for J.R. Smith back then. They chose not to. And, you know, the one guy who they parted with was Cousins because they didn't feel like his body would be ready to contribute come mid-April. Well, now we're talking about late July. And, you know, I wrote it as the one burning question I have for this Lakers team on ESPN.com this week. Will he be a part of things? And he has maintained contact within the organization. You know, in terms of you know, keeping up with group texts with players and whatnot, and you know, taking videos of himself working out in Las Vegas and sharing them with members of the Lakers so they can see his progress. And you know, yes, there are some two-way players on this roster with some potential, you know, and perhaps some political ties. Potentially, you're talking about Kostas Antetokounmpo and his brother Giannis and what Giannis could have did that line, but they were lacking a stretch five all season long. They added Markieff Morris to fill that role, but in my estimation, when healthy, DeMarcus Cousins is even better in that role. And then you throw in the other factor of, you know, what's going to happen with JaVale McGee? Will he be able to fully participate in the bubble considering his pre-existing condition? Having asthma, you know, Cousins makes sense on several levels to me, but it remains to be seen, you know, how exactly he looks and how the Lakers will be able to evaluate how he looks, because it's not like we're in a situation where, you know, putting together a workout to evaluate a player is so easy to do.
Dave, final question. We'll let you go. I know you're working on a piece right now, so we appreciate you taking a few minutes. Down the road, we get into the mix. Playoffs is going on. There's been a lot of conversation about the Lakers and all these different matchups. In the second round, hypothetically, and I'm not talking about the Clippers, what team in the West do you think could present a problem to the Lakers between the Jazz, the Houston Rockets, Oklahoma City, Dallas, and what team am I missing here? And Oklahoma City Thunder. Between those five teams, and I'm not saying any of those teams are going to upset the Lakers, but what team do you think just kind of has enough to put a little bit of a scare into the Lakers?
Yeah, I think the team you left out was the Denver Nuggets with slimmed down Joker, which
saw that
about that how that's going to look. But to me, the one team is Houston Rockets. Anytime a team relies so heavily on shooting the three ball and they get hot, you know, they could get hot for an entire series and you're in trouble. And, you know, under a typical season, yeah, you could say that the Lakers would have been primed and ready to go and, you know, clicking on all cylinders and a team that plays kind of a junky, gimmicky type of game that the Rockets do with their small ball, the Lakers would be just clicking so well at what they do, it wouldn't matter. But to me, throw in the fact that you're talking about players rejoining the court after 3.5 months off, playing an atypical style like the Rockets do, I think will work even more so in their favor. And, the Rockets, also based on their success in the regular season against the Lakers, that's the one team I would say, if I'm a Lakers fan, I would not want to see the purple and gold have to go up against James Harden and Russell Westbrook and the rest of those guys.
Well, hopefully, you know, this is just part of the path, and in a couple months we'll be talking about that. Dave, thanks for doing this, bud. Enjoy the rest of your night, and good luck on your piece, all right?
Yep, appreciate it.
All right, that's Dave McMenamin right there. Halftime coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
I think I'm very excited about having the breaking news, having that as part of the mix now.
I think you're excited about your keto diet. You're more excited about that.
Bro, I was just telling you guys off the air. So it is it's very interesting. It's a lot to learn. The key, I'm telling you, this is the main thing to take away from. The main thing to take away from it is the idea is to have your energy source, your fuel, not be carbs. It's supposed to be fat. So whatever the heck that means. And when I watched Alone, that series that I was referencing on the History Channel, that was all about like they were trying to eat not just protein but fat because that's what they needed to kind of get them through the day. So you're just like naturally eating less calories because a lot of these suppress your appetite. A lot of fats suppress your appetite. I sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I don't. So I'm going to go ahead and stop right there.
I was taking notes. So fat, hot, keto, high fat suppressing diet. Okay, you lost me when he says suppressed appetite because I love to eat and I don't know if I can do it.
Bro,
a diet.
Listen to me. Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? I love to eat. Okay, I can sit.
You don't look the part, Alan. You definitely do not look the part. I look the part.
I could sit in front of I don't know a ton of food and just take it down. I can, but when I say suppress your appetite. What I'm trying to tell you is, for the first time in my life, there are times where I'm not hungry. That never used to happen, ever.
That's what we need the breaking news sound. That's breaking news.
Okay, no more keto talk here. Bro, it's such a good sounder. It's such a good sounder. I don't
it
know
why.
It
has to be quicker.
Listen.
It's
listen,
just yes, long yes, enough.
Yes, no, that's what makes
it, to be
it
quicker.
Because it drums it up quicker. As you're coming in. That's
Curtis,
the best.
Curtis, do it again. Curtis, do it again. Do it again.
Boom. See, like, it's a split second shorter. That
the lead up is so unnecessary, which is why it's going to stay. That's why it has to stay. The lead up is so dramatic.
I'm going to fight you on this.
We have nothing that's actually breaking. All right, we'll figure that part out. All right, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I have the breaking news. And by the way, the fact that the NBA is trying to make the season start a day earlier is pretty big news in the world we live in right now, especially in these times. So I remember
isn't it just as much as we were excited about getting basketball back, I'm telling you, my reaction when I saw the dates, I was like, what? Why are we waiting two more months? Like, we can't wait any longer. I know why they're doing it, and it's smart. I've complimented the NBA for doing it, but when I first saw that come out,
like, no, why?
And yesterday, and when I saw it was July 31st to July 30th, I'm like, that's what we get? It's one day earlier. But man, it's complicated. Can you imagine how complicated it is right now to be sitting in Adam Silver's shoes and trying to freaking figure this whole thing out? Not just him, like a lot of –
just sitting anywhere in the NBA, I think, would be like pulling your hair out.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Major League Baseball? I mean, their issues go further than just the health part of it. So talk about pulling your hair out. All right, Jess, get things started, bud.
All right. So 27 years ago today, one of the best action movies, adventure movies, scary movies, thriller movies came out. Jurassic Park was released in theaters. Oh, my bad. You still want to guess?
I didn't even have a guess. Die Hard 3.
Well, Alan, sir, you are wrong. It was Jurassic Park.
Scream 2.
Scream 2 was a good scream, but we'll get
scream
to that.
Scream 1
we'll
was
to
good.
That another time.
Scream 1 was good. I don't think Scream 2 was good.
I don't remember Scream 2. It's all blended into one at this point. But 27 years ago, Jurassic Park was released. And I was just, you know, a little baby, but I remember this movie was one of the first movies I remember vividly watching because I remember being terrified by
of course
the
you were.
This movie.
probably like 3 years old, and dinosaurs everywhere.
Yeah, I loved it. Because of this movie, I'm fascinated with dinosaurs, and I love dinosaurs. Uh-huh. But I remember as a child, it was terrifying. And 1 year, it was a friend's birthday, and I remember we had to find a present, right? Because the birthday party.
This was 27 years ago?
The release. First time in the theaters. Okay. Yeah. But I saw it probably 24 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. And I remember I told my mom, give him the Jurassic Park movie because it's scary. And I didn't want to watch it because it just it always terrified me. And I was like, this is my chance to get rid of it. Huh? So now looking back at that, it would have been a dumb move because it's a great movie. But that brings me to this question. Alan, what is the first movie you remember watching that actually terrified you? And I don't mean just scary, like terrified you, like I'm going to go hide under my blankets. Terrifying.
Couple things here. First of all, how good was that movie?
Fantastic. I mean,
that started a couple. Remember, I'm going to name off some of the actors and actresses in that movie. So Jeff Goldblum, Samuel's in there. Yep. Laura Dem is in there. Yep. What was the scientist's name? Richard
Hammond.
Or John Hammond. That's right, John Hammond. Okay.
Richard's the real name.
Samuel Jackson has a role there. One of my favorite characters in this entire movie was?
Don't tell me it's Will Knight's character or Wayne Knight's character. I don't remember his
my
name.
Man, Wayne Knight. My man, Wayne Knight. For those who know, you know, that's the famous character in Seinfeld. Newman in Seinfeld.
Newman but in his Seinfeld, yes.
His character was comical. Okay, so I'd say probably
Alan Nedry. That's his name in the movie. Alan Nedry.
What's going on over there, Jess? What's going on? One of the, I would say, the scariest movies. Do you guys ever remember this? Tales from the Crypt? Do you remember that on HBO?
Oh,
you
know what that is? Man, that show, you remember that? Is my jam. That is another show that terrified me back in the day that I love watching now.
Okay, so back in the day, just using that as an example, same thing. I was like, what is this? That like, how is this on TV? Okay, mm-hmm. Poltergeist. Remember Poltergeist?
Oh, that movie is terrifying, too.
I still don't want to sit hold on, and watch Poltergeist.
Before you move on to your next movie, do you know what that movie is rated? Like, you know, guys? Yeah, like it's, you know, PG, G, PG 13, R. Guess what that movie is rated?
What's it rated?
PG.
It's rated what?
PG.
Are you sure about that?
Yep. Google it right now. So
what
Google
is
Poltergeist rating.
Poltergeist rating. How is that PG? How is that possible?
How old is it? Because I know the ratings changed
after
Indiana Jones, which was also a PG movie. Okay, that's why.
1982.
First Indiana Jones was rated PG, but then they after that, Ripping the Heart.
I think the first three were rated PG.
Yeah, after he took the heart out of somebody, I know they changed the ratings after that.
What was the other one that was scary? Remember Gremlins? Was it Gremlins? Is that what it was called?
Gremlins was good. It was kind of like a hybrid scary. Like
scared
kind of
the hell
fun
out of me.
It didn't be scary. I found it kind of more. It was more entertaining.
Scarred me for life. But Curtis, what's one of your scarier movies?
Hands down, even as a kid, have you seen Pinocchio, like in its entirety? That movie's pretty creepy. For a
you
kid,
you know what?
He turns into like a donkey midway. The whale's all freaky. For a kid, that's scary. Like I was scared of the ride at Disneyland because I was scared of the movie.
What was the Stephen King one with the clowns? It's not called Clowns, right? It. That's what it's called. It was freaking. It was scary.
The Tim Curry.
The OG. Oh, okay. Well, it was scary, but I think if you go back now and watch it, I don't think it's going to be, you know, obviously it's not the same, but bro, as a kid, are you kidding me? I'm supposed to get out of my room or like, hey, what the hell is this? I'm like, Mom, don't let me watch this stuff.
I remember watching that OG It randomly on TV. It was like a Saturday afternoon. And I was, you know, I didn't have cable, so I only had like Channel 7, Channel 5, Channel 11. And it was on one of those channels. And I remember watching it and I was like, oh, what's this? because I saw a clown and I thought it was going to be like a comedy thing or something funny. Or nope, I was completely wrong. Completely, completely wrong. And it's funny because now I love horror movies. I'm all for that.
No, I'm okay with horror movies. Curtis, what's going on over there? What are you doing? What's going on at the station right now?
I'm reliving my childhood thinking of Pinocchio movies right now. I'm not in a good place right now.
Okay, we're going to help you get out of it. What do you got?
Good news. Jesse and I have been very excited for this for a long time. And
I thought of both of you. I thought of both of you when I saw it. Go ahead.
Yeah, so today finally, after a delay, PlayStation has announced the PlayStation 5.
How long was it delayed?
Just the announcement stuff was just delayed. It was last week. They were going to have it, I believe, last Wednesday. And then all the protesting and all that happened. And they were smart and decided, you know what? We can wait. Let's get ahead of this. Because they spent money to advertise it on ESPN and stuff. And they're like, you know what? They did it right. They postponed it. But we got that news today, finally. So it's been in the waiting.
Saw it on Twitter. Yep, PS5 looks pretty damn cool. Okay,
it looks like a router, but that's okay.
It looks like
Looks like you need to call Time Warner and get your modem rebooted.
Get the reset. Uh-huh. Get the
yep. It definitely looks
unplug
like that.
It. Get the reset, but it's all good. they started showing games, they opened up with Spider-Man. Jesse and I were very excited for that, but about halfway through, Zion comes up on our screen, and you think, okay, 2K, let's do this. We're ready. Every time that there's a jump with these things, you see a big change in like details and all that. So they started out with a normal close-up of Zion, and it faded into digital Zion dribbling on a court.
Bro, I didn't see this.
Yeah, it's so I believe SportsCenter actually put out the trailer themselves, too. It's insane. It looks like you're there with them.
All right, I think I'm watching this as we talk. Zion PS5. Look, this is what I'm talking about. Remember a couple days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, whenever that was, I was talking about
The VR.
The VR. And the first thing that I had in my mind, I'm like, this thing is going to be ridiculous, right? Like, it's going to be so ridiculous in like 5 years from now. Oh, I'm watching it right now. Yeah, this is ridiculous. And you know what? I actually did see this a couple times. I wasn't paying attention to it. I don't know what it was. I wasn't like paying attention of, okay, what is this and what it's for? Just scrolling, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's ridiculous technology. That's ridiculous technology.
Yeah,
okay,
you
so
think
for
it's just Zion, but it's insane
for two gamers like you guys. What is what's the game that you want to play most on PS5? Because if it's FIFA 2004, I'm in. If that's the one. Then I'm in.
Nah, I play the Pro Evolution Soccer. I'm not FIFA. I'm a Pro Evolution Soccer kind of guy.
Okay, so what's the game you guys are most looking forward to play on this? For gamers that are out there that know what's going on and someone like me that has not paid attention to it.
I mean, just for the games that were, you know, kind of shown today, Spider-Man is definitely at the top of that list. I've always, always, always been a Spider-Man fan. I love all their games. I am so sad that Spider-Man isn't cross-platform. It's only available on a PlayStation right now. And I don't have a PlayStation. I have a Switch and an Xbox. So I have to wait until I get a PS5 to play Spider-Man. But there's a bunch of more like other rumored games. Like there's supposedly some Star Wars games going to come out. I'm just excited overall for a new console because it's been
okay. This is how ghetto I am right now on these new consoles. Right. So just so I understand this. Everything is just online now. You're buying everything online. So you buy it and then it's just sitting on your, you know, on the game console, correct?
They're both. They still have discs and stuff, but a lot of people are going for like the all digital.
It's
game
definitely trending that way. It's not like before where everything's guaranteed to come in a box like you're used to.
Okay, so now PS5, and this is, I'm assuming this has been the case for a while now. Jesse, you want to play Curtis in NBA 2K21 or something along those lines. You guys, you have your profile, you have yours, and you guys just start playing against each other? That simple?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, you go to the little picture and you open the game up, and then you can pretty much instantaneously get in there and start playing. It's insane. And we talked about this, I think, a couple...
I think it would be fun. Like, I think I would definitely enjoy my time. And I think it would be a great way to connect with, you know, old friends and buddies. But I don't know. I don't see myself doing it. Probably also too, because I got a lot of friends who are married and have kids. So they're like, you know, what are they going to tell their wife? Hey, hun, I know I got the 2-year-old running around, but Al and I have a Major League Baseball game that we have to play. We're in the middle of a season. So I think that probably has something to do with it too.
Hey, I have a franchise in Madden right now. I got to go through that daily. I'm on the last week of the season, and I got all three of my buddies who I'm in the season with telling me, hey, play your game. We want to get into the playoffs already. And I've been here sitting on the game for the last 3 days.
They're waiting for you. Got it. They're waiting for you.
So, you
know, Curtis, what's the game that that you're most looking forward to playing?
I don't know. The Spider-Man's very interesting. The thing is, when these things, you're kind of limited from the get-go. So this thing's coming out, it's going to come out like November, Christmas time. Usually, especially now with all these shortages in China and all the parts and stuff, it's going to be limited numbers. So only a couple games have really been announced now. But they're kind of, we were talking about cons the other day. This was the week of E3. We usually have it here at the convention center. But because of all this stuff, you know, and the way the world is, they canceled it. So everybody's kind of putting out these digital events now, kind of advertising their stuff. But usually by now we get a lot of stuff. And right now we're still waiting because everyone's still trying to figure out, you know, this crazy world that we're living in and all that. But the Spider-Man's very interesting. Honestly, it's anything that I can play with my friends, really, because that's the most important part is enjoying it with other people, too. It's always
You're not doing it on your own. Okay. All right. This is what we do coming up next. I want to go back to talk a little bit about Colin Kaepernick and Mike Tenenbaum, ESPN front office insider, actually said that there might be a couple teams that have interest in Colin Kaepernick. And also just a quick reminder, Bill Plaschke of the LA Times coming up at 8:30. He had a story yesterday about Reggie Bush, and I want to get back into that. Also, I kind of want to relive those Reggie Bush days a little bit. I wasn't up here in LA when Reggie Bush was absolutely dominating for USC. So I think that's going to be great to tell that story as well. Also, just a quick reminder, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, a firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. Appreciate our partners, and obviously thank you to our frontline workers. We'll talk a little bit Colin Kaepernick coming up next day right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Plaschke of the LA Times, so we'll keep you posted on that. I want to continue that conversation that we were just having about how it's going to be important for owners. I talk about owners in the NFL. Kendrick Perkins, who's been fantastic. He was on First Take earlier today. He's been great. Perkins has been joining a lot of these shows. And who would have thought, you know, how much I never got a chance to listen to him as a player, but I love his analysis and, you know, the success that he's having. So Perk calls out some of the owners in the NBA saying they got to stand up, and this is an opportunity for social. They have to step up to social injustice, and this kind of plays along with what I was referencing to as far as NFL owners. Here's Kendrick Perkins on First Take.
I mean, it's hard to just name one, but because a guy like Mark Cuban, who's been vocal throughout, he has spoken out. So if I had to point at someone, it would be Mark Cuban, but he's done a great job. Like, he's speaking out about it. He's out there protesting. He's doing his part. So I'm not just picking on one particular owner, but, you know, if I had to choose one, it would be Dan Gilbert of the Cleveland Cavaliers, because he's had a background of doing crazy things or saying crazy things about NBA players, but yet those same NBA players that when you're on the Cleveland Cavaliers team, you go out and support his charity event that he has for his son. So where's Dan Gilbert right now during this time? Like, that guy, you know, that those are the owners that need to be, you know, not quiet. Because again, Max, they have the relationships. You can't tell me that owners, these white American owners in the NBA don't have great relationships with governors and mayors and people of power, even our president, our leader, so-called, and Donald Trump. Like, so, you know, it's time for them to make a stand.
Kendrick Perkins right there. I want to welcome in Bill Plaschke from the LA Times. Bill, thanks for joining the show, bud. How are you doing?
Good. Boy, Kendrick Perkins, always so understated, isn't he?
He's
delivering the message. He's tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Just complimenting, too, leading up to that. I was just talking about how great he's done, you know, since he's kind of jumped in from basketball to the media world. He's so authentic and so real, and it's I enjoy listening to him. So he's done a great job. By the way, just to play off of that, how do you think, Bill? I feel like it's been quiet from a lot of owners, specifically in the NFL, just in general about everything going on right now, and a lot of the players are speaking up more than a lot of players are going out of the way to make sure that their voices are heard right now. For the NFL perspective. Are you surprised how quiet it's been? There's been some. There's also been a lot of, you know, some criticism that's been thrown at Jerry Jones for being quiet as well.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I know the NFL owners, they're a bunch of rich guys who are disconnected from society. I mean, just think how that league is run and what some of the rules and, you know, I mean, Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft are big Donald Trump guys. I mean, you know, what do you? So I just don't. I think that they are. They're more worried. NFL is all about the money, and they're more worried about the backlash they'd receive from their fan base than speaking up for humanity. That's just the way it is for the NFL owners. And so Roger Goodell speaks for them. But as I wrote in a column that's going to appear in the LA Times on the website tomorrow morning, you know, he didn't even mention Kaepernick. Didn't even mention him once. Didn't apologize. Didn't say he was going to sign or anything. So. Disappointed. The NFL has been disappointing in its individual response because these guys are all leaders in their community, and it's the most. And you know, as much as we all love the NBA, NFL dwarfs it. The NFL is the most significant sports influence in this country, and it's a shame that the individual owners are kind of hiding behind this video of Goodell, which only came out after the NFL players did a video. I mean, I think it's the whole Drew Brees thing. They just, you know, Drew Brees is not connected to the real world, I don't think. And the quarterbacks generally mimic their ownership. So that's what's happening there.
Well, Bill, so just to go off of that, you mentioned Roger Goodell. Do you think eventually he will address Colin Kaepernick? Because many players have... You know, this has been one of the things with the NFL and the players. I love how active they've been. NBA, they've been doing the same thing. But I think people want more. They want to hear more from Roger Goodell. Goodell is, at the end of the day, as much as, you know, we think Goodell is his own person, really who he is, he's a middleman. And he is speaking technically and working for the owners and making $40+ million a year. So let's not pretend all of that doesn't play into the equation of what you hear from Roger Goodell. Do you think there's going to come a point where there's enough pressure where Roger Goodell has to address not just we made a mistake or we've made a mistake in the NFL, but specifically he mentions Cap?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point, if he says he's listening to the players like he says he's doing, then he will say something. I mean, you wonder in that collusion, you know, when they settled with Cap on the collusion grievance that was filed, whether there's some part of that, you know, got them off the hook for ever mentioning his name again. I don't know, but I think yes, he's going to have to say something. He's going to have to address it because this guy is where it all started. This guy was the first. If it wasn't, he foreshadowed a national movement, and he was ignored and shunned. Colin Kaepernick was, and he's become. The longer they go without saying anything about him, the bigger a figure he becomes, and the more. You know, endemic to this awakening we're having, this national awakening we're having. He's very, very important, and he deserves a chance to earn his livelihood and to earn a living, and he deserves a chance to play the game, and he can still play the game. You can't tell me he's not one of the 64 best quarterbacks in the country. You can't tell me that. He's probably one, even now, 3 years after he's played, he's probably still the top 30. So, yes, that's. I think he's going to have to address that issue at some point.
Well, I hope he gets his opportunity. I mean, I can only imagine what that would be like just from a media perspective as well. It'd be great to see that that opportunity comes. Bill Plaschke from the LA Times joining the Sliwa Show. Bill, yesterday you had a column in the LA Times, USC should welcome home Reggie Bush, but will he show remorse? Reggie Bush had a chance yesterday to join Colin Cowherd on The Herd on Fox Sports.
I saw that.
And spoke, you know, a ton. And then, you know, obviously Mike Bone, the athletic director for USC, got a chance yesterday to have a Zoom call with reporters. Was that what you were referring to? Is that what you wanted to see? Do you feel like Reggie Bush did what you were hoping for?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I'm hoping for. It's what a lot of USC fans are hoping for. Just some recognition of the pain and the destruction that his mistake cost them, that his error in judgment cost them, that his, some would say, you know, he, you know, just a recognition and acknowledgement of the fact that they've gone through 10 years of hell over there. And a lot of that's their own doing, but it all started with the probation and the 30 lost scholarships and the two bowl games. Just, he sent them down a bad road. And yes, were the rules stupid? Yes. Were the rules misguided? Yes. Did he deserve every penny he made? Absolutely. He deserved three times what he ended up taking from those agents. Mm-hmm. He was the biggest figure in a city with no NFL team. I mean, I lived through it. He was the best college player I've ever seen. He was unbelievable. He deserved everything. But the rules are the rules. And his teammates, you know, most of his teammates followed those rules, and he knew what they were, and he knew what he was doing, and what he did wrecked USC. And you can't tell me it didn't. It cost Lane Kiffin his career there. Lane Kiffin did a pretty good job, but I criticized Lane a lot. But he was hamstrung. I mean, they were playing walk-ons. I mean, Alan, sure. If you were there then, they were fielding half teams during those years. And then they kept trying to play catch up, and they never could catch up with the ADs and with the coaches, and it just sent him in a spiral. The probation mm-hmm. just sent him in. Was it a wrong, right probation? No, it was then, and somebody was way too hard on USC. None of it was right, but all of it was in the rule book. Whether you liked it or not, or whether you agree with it or not, it was still the rules. And they were, and it was USC's arrogance in flaunting the rules that got them nailed. Mm. And then Reggie goes off, and yes, he loses his Heisman. But USC loses millions of dollars in revenue and loses, but more than that, they lost their swagger. They lost their soul for the last 10 years. I'm not sure when you got to town, Alan, but USC is huge. Mm-hmm. USC was the biggest thing in town. They were the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll was here. They were unbelievable. And to see what's happened over there, and Reggie ends up making $62 million in NFL. And so you welcome him back for his stability and for his talent and everything, but I just don't – it would just be nice. I just think it would be nice if Reggie would say, yeah, thank you for welcoming me back. I'm sorry for all the hardship that I caused this university. I'm ready to get back here. But instead, he's not remorseful at all, and it makes you wonder. He wants to help out and mentor young USC players. Is he going to tell them to take money? Because it's still a rule. It's a bad mm-hmm. rule. But it's still a rule. It hasn't been changed yet, and it'll be changed. But it's still
right,
a rule
that everyone followed.
Everyone had to follow.
You know, Bill, I think there's one thing that you mentioned there. The way you preface everything by saying you don't like the rules. The rules weren't fair. NCAA made a example of USC. They went down on them way too hard. All this stuff
Absolutely.
That you're referencing, I think that's important because, you know, yesterday I was doing that on the show. I was saying, you know, think about what Reggie Bush did in that time, in those 3 years here at USC, what he did. I mean, he was, like you mentioned, I was down in San Diego at the time. You know, that's where I grew up. And the fact that he's from San Diego, you also went out of your way to follow him just because, wow, you know, this is a hometown kid. He was wearing 619. He had that, you know, under his eyes. So he was representing the city of San Diego, and he was dominating college football. You know, I wasn't here in LA during those times, but I did want to ask you. So take me back to that, because I know how big it was and I know how big he was across the country. What was the Coliseum like back in those days?
Oh, it was 90,000 people out there. I mean, it was 75,000 to 90,000 a game. It was, you had to get there 5-6 hours early. I get there for the Notre Dame game one year. I got there like 8 hours early for a game. It was crazy. It was Hollywood. It was the sidelines were filled with celebrities. Pete was wonderful, fun coach, exciting players. They had, you know, everybody says, well, they had two Heisman. Pete had two Heisman Trophy winners. He had three. Don't forget Carson Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy. It was crazy nutty, and it was so exciting. And Reggie Bush was at the forefront of all of it, and he made them a lot of money at the time, and he should have been a reap reward for that. But I compare it to, like, if the speed limit is 50 miles an hour, and your son drives 70 with your new car and gets your car impounded, mm-hmm. and you all agree it's a bad speed limit. He still better apologize because he broke the law. He broke the speed limit. It's a 50 miles an hour on an open freeway with nobody in the middle of the desert. Of course you should be able to go 70, but that's not the law. It's not the rules. And so that's the thing. But nobody, I mean, USC's welcomes him back. And I just wish that would close the chapter, that if he would just recognize what he did. So it's almost like some people over there are acting like, oh my gosh, the NCAA kept him away from us. The NCAA owes us an apology. And the NCAA may owe him an apology, certainly, for the hard handedness of their penalties. But Reggie owes him a bit of an apology, too, I think. Hmm. I mean, if you had seen what that was like when he was gone, he's off playing for the Saints, winning Super Bowls.
Sure.
And they're playing in front of 40,000 people with half-baked teams, a half-baked coach. And they're not playing in two consecutive bowl games. They went in 10 games. They can't play in a bowl game. It was terrible.
Hmm.
And again, it was not every player did it. I mean, they all knew the rules. And he chose to take almost $300,000, knowing full well what could happen, and then walking away from it. So again, Bill, great player, great guy, but I I'm not the only one that says this. I'm not the mm-hmm. only one that said this. This is very on Twitter. Now, Twitter's going to be not saying that. Twitter's going to be all in favor of just welcoming back with no conditions. But a lot of USC fans in this town think like I do. I guarantee you.
Bill Plaschke from the LA Times joined the Sliwa Show. Bill, I'll leave you with this. When you speak about those days for USC, and I kind of reminisce too back in the days, just seeing them every time nationally televised games, like you mentioned. It was must-watch TV, and primarily because of Reggie Bush. How does SC just get back to, being that university and being that football program here in LA? Look, I understand the Chargers are here now, the Rams are here, but there's a base here for USC. It's never going to go anywhere. They're, you know, obviously they're loud and they're proud. How does SC get back to just a consistency, right? Where on a year-in, year-out basis, they're the ones. They're the class of the Pac-12. How far do you think they are from? Are they away from that? And do you feel good about the future for SC?
Well, I like Mike Bone. He seems to know what he's doing. And no, the Rams and Chargers will never don't mistake that. They will never approach USC's popularity in this town. This mm-hmm. town is Lakers, Dodgers, USC football, and it'll be that way. So they're not. They're not being threatened by the NFL teams at all. But the question is, can they pass the Dodgers and Lakers? And they were as big as them back in the early 2000s. I think they need a dynamic leader of the organization. I'm not sure Clay Helton's that guy. And I think that's where the rubber meets the road, is what does Mike Bone do with Clay Helton? And Clay Helton's the nicest man I have ever met in this business. I love him to death as a person. I'm just not so sure he's the right coach to be. So I think they need to make the kind of coaching hire to get the kind of on-field leadership that would, you know, lead them. I think that's what they're missing. So until they get that, I think they're still going to wallow around in the muck a little bit. Like last year's Holiday Bowl game, which is terrible, just horrible. I was down there. It was a disaster, just like several of these wilderness. So yes, they need. I think they need a new. I think they're eventually going to have to make a change of head coach. And I've written this. I'm not. I'm not going on the limb on saying this. But I cheer for Clay. I cheer for Clay Helton. And if you've ever had him on the show or ever talked to him, you'll love the guy. Have you ever met him?
I have not met him. No.
Oh, he's the greatest guy ever. He's so such a good guy. But is he dynamic enough? That's what they need. This is a big entertainment town. It's a glitz town. It's a winning town. And is he dynamic enough? And in college football, more so than like Frank Vogel doesn't need to be dynamic. He's got LeBron. And Dave Roberts has Cody Bellinger and you know, Clayton Kershaw. But USC football, the coach needs to be dynamic. So we'll see. But I think that's one thing that's missing. And maybe Clay can find that this year. We'll find out. But this town, I'm telling you, there's nothing like this town when USC football is going good. Now, I know immediately half the town hates them because they're UCLA fans. But USC football is just so ingrained and overpowering in this community. And it's a shame they've fallen to where they've fallen.
Hopefully that changes, Bill. I greatly appreciate the time. Great article or great column yesterday. And you got another one coming out tomorrow morning on Goodell and Kaepernick.
Sign Kaepernick. That's
there you
go.
The
first thing you should do is sign Kaepernick.
I like it. I like it, Bill. Thank you, bud. Enjoy the rest of your night, and thanks for taking the time, okay?
Take care, brother. See you.
All right. All right. That's Bill Plaschke there of the LA Times. 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, a firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation. Or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award a $500 thank you gift to include $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. Final thoughts coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so the column from Bill Plaschke in the LA Times, and then you get a chance to just kind of hear him give his take on Reggie Bush. I don't know. That's a tough one for me. You know, when I sit back here, Reggie Bush is supposed to show remorse. I love how Bill mentioned, are the rules fair? No, they're not. But they're still the rules. Should he have been, you know, compensated for everything he was doing for USC? Of course he should have. Of course, you know, that's not even a conversation. But it's tough for me. I get where he's saying, here's USC 10 years later, and they don't have much to show for it. A lot of that kind of started that spiral downward when they lose 30 scholarships and you're on a two-year bowl ban. Of course, that's going to have an incredible impact, and that's going to last much longer than 2 years. Just the momentum is so much of it in college football. Clemson's getting all the recruits. Auburn's getting a lot of recruits. LSU, Alabama, the momentum. They ride that momentum, and there might be times, especially, you know, obviously in the Pac-12, where USC was just accustomed to dominating the Pac-12 when it came to football. That hasn't been the case now for years. But to just point the finger at Reggie Bush, that's a tough one for me. That is. That really is. And what Reggie Bush accomplished at USC in the time that he was here, it's going to be like – it has to be one of the best sporting times, I guess you could say, in Los Angeles history. What I'm referring to there is that was one of the best moments for USC football. I think a lot of people, you said, what are some of your favorite USC moments in college football? That's going to come up. With the Lakers, you might say, okay, well, it was Kobe and Shaq days, or it was Magic in the Showtime era. There's always going to be certain types of teams or players that, you know, jump to your mind when I say, well, what was your favorite era, or your favorite time with a specific team? Well, that's what it was for USC football. That's what it was with Reggie Bush. So, I don't think I'm that far to where it's, oh, I'm upset at Reggie Bush, or this is all Reggie Bush's fault. I think USC also, you know, they made mistakes on their own as well. But it is nice that he's going to be a part of the school again. And of course it's going to be important that he, can help have some kind of, ability to talk to students and everything else. Okay. So tomorrow, Friday, Ben Lyons will join the show. He's actually going to be on 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. So I'm looking forward to having Ben on to do a little co-hosting action. And then Jonathan Martin from the New York Times had a great article on LeBron James. So he'll join the show as well. Thank you to Jesse. Thank you to Curtis. LA, always greatly appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a great rest of your night.